I'm going to go to the book of Judges tonight, the book of Judges. And we're going to go to chapter number 3, book of Judges, chapter number 3. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, Judges chapter number 3. Did I say 3? Chapter number 2. I'm looking at chapter 3. Chapter number 2. I am sorry. I'll get it right, hopefully. It says, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Moshe and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lift up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, we'll go to Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gesh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bound themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be able to come to the house of the Lord. I pray you might bless tonight. I pray, God, that you would instill within us your word, your spirit. Oh, God, that we might be drawn nearer to you. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a little boy, my grandmother passed away. And my mother inherited the house, and so we moved to 2527 Avenue C. And it was in that house that I spent the next several years. Two or three doors away from me was another young man my same age. And after being there two or three years, and my mother watching him and so forth, she said to me, "Son, I don't want you playing with him." I didn't pay attention to her, and I did anyway, but she said, "You do not need that kind of influence." It was interesting because, for some reason, the principal at the school I attended drew me aside one day and said the same thing to me. He said, "You'd be better off not hanging around with him." She felt like that he would be a bad influence in my life. Interesting scenario. Very interesting. From our text, we learn as to why God would not bless Israel in subduing the land of Canaan. We find that there were some unholy alliances. God had given to them clear command as to the inhabitants of Canaan. I'm going to read to you several different places in the Word of God and His clear command. In chapter 23 of Exodus, verse 32 and 33, it says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it shall surely be a snare unto thee. Again in Exodus, a few chapters later, 34, verse number 12 says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. You go to Numbers chapter 23. Very similar, it says, but if he will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 5 says, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. And yet we find in Joshua chapter number 9 that there were those who were Gibeonites who saw Israel as a force that they could not reckon with. They disguised themselves, and they went and they made a league with them. We find that that unholy alliance caused some great problems in the land of Israel. And they went against what God had told them to do. They looked at the rotten rags of clothes that they were wearing. They looked at the moldy bread rather than looking to the Word of God and maintaining a separation from the peoples of the land. You know, if we're going to maintain the proper relationship with God, there must be the proper alliances that are made lest our hearts be drawn away from the Lord. You might remember this little phrase in Exodus 34. It says, they were a snare in the midst of thee. Lest there be a snare in the midst of thee. God wants to understand something. There are certain folks we should not hang around. If you are a young person here and mom and dad has told you, you ought not be with those, listen to them. They've probably got some very good reason for it. And by the way, mom and dad, don't be afraid to tell your children that. We do not need unholy alliances. But because of this alliance, God withdrew his blessing from the land of Israel, from the people of Israel, and they never had complete victory over the land of Canaan. How we align ourselves with others is very, very important. Familiar scripture, but if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, mom and dad, a great section to refer to often with your children. Young people, a great chapter for us to understand some of the things God wants us to understand. If you would go with me to verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and notice what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I had the privilege many years ago to be in Costa Rica and to see them come out of the between the groves of trees with two oxen, pulling a little cart and pulling the fruit of those trees to be loaded into bigger trucks. I had the privilege also to see a beautiful team of oxen walk down the street pulling a similar cart as I was at a hardware store not too far from Brother Todd's home. And what is amazing is that around their necks is a thing called a yoke. Normally, in those cases, they're made out of wood. And on one side, it's wrapped around their neck. There's that middle bar that goes across to around the other one. So when they're pulling the wagon or whatever it is, it's hooked to the middle of that. And so both of them have to pull. Those of you who've seen horses being hooked up, really it's a similar thing. They use harnesses that does basically the same thing. And so it's made so both go together. And what's he say here? Be not unequally yoked together. Now let me ask you a question. Can you put a cow and a dog in a yoke and expect to get anywhere? That would be foolish, would it not? We're not going to do it. Matter of fact, we're not even going to take a horse and put it with a donkey. Matter of fact, you're not going to take a workhorse and put it with a saddle horse. You need two that are pretty much equal in size and weight and strength. And what's he telling us? We do not want an unequal yoke. So he says, don't be unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. So we ought not have that where we are pulling together for the same cause. And I think we need to understand those causes. We're not talking about doing righteous things, but we are talking about we're not to yoke up with them in things like business and in our pleasure. It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Can we speak with the lost and really gain spiritually? Can we even talk about the Lord and His goodness? Most likely you'll be looked at as odd, and they might make a few comments about you. Dina told me tonight, she's told him at work that if she comes up missing while she's gone to heaven, I mean, the rapture's taken place, and they looked at her and they said, you really believe that stuff? You see, you can't have fellowship with folks like that. Why? It's just not there. It's not possible because they do not have that kind of spirit within. Let me go on. He says, in what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial was an unholy god. Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now that doesn't stop there. Notice the next verse says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I think if we go to the next verse, in chapter 1, it really kind of goes with it. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Will we become more holy if we are aligned with those who are not? It just will not take place. And you know, if we are different than somebody else, after a while, if we hang around them long enough, we become like them. One of my favorite illustrations from my own background was years ago in Seattle. I worked with a man who was an immigrant from France. This Frenchman, he spoke broken English. For 3 years, we worked together, normally 3 or 4 hours a day, and we straightened barricades. And so one would hold the barricade, the other would use a big sledgehammer, and we would pound those things out straight. We had a vise and all sorts of stuff that we'd straighten those things out that we could use them once again. And after a couple years, I noticed something. His name was Julian. Julian was speaking better. His English wasn't near as broken. And I thought, wow, he's learning something from me. But then I began to realize some of his broken English I had picked up. And both of us had what? We had coincided some things in that regard. And we need to understand, if we make unholy alliances, it's going to have its effect upon us, no matter how hard we try. Now, there's a couple of things I believe we ought to consider with that. And this is elementary to most in this room, but there ought to be a difference between the saved and the lost. We're to be a testimony to the lost, amen? We're to tell people about Jesus. We're to be kind to them. We're to be loving to them. But they're not to be our fellowshipping partners. We can't really discuss the deep things of God with them. We can't deal with spiritual things with them. It's just not there. Why? Because they are, as the Bible calls, spiritually discerned. We can't have fellowship based on anything that's godly. It must be of this world. We can fellowship around hunting or fishing. We can fellowship about making this or doing the other thing. But we can't have the fellowship about Christ. It's with God's people that we can come together to rehearse the things of God and to edify one another. So there's got to be that differentiation. I believe you know that. I hope you understand that. But let me take that one step farther. I believe there needs to be a differentiation between spiritual and carnal. Now you understand there's three kinds of people in the world. There are saved people, there's lost people. Saved people, there's two kinds of. There's the spiritual and there's the carnal. The spirit operates in the power of the spirit. The carnal is one who basically acts like the world. He's acting more like the lost guy. The carnal Christian's not about having oneness with the brethren. They don't have a testimony to a lost world. Love for the lost world is not a prevailing factor for them. Matter of fact, there's something when we look at a carnal Christian and we find that they are ripe with strife. 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal." And there's a colon there, explanation following. "For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" If you and I, any of us, are having conflict with another Christian, you write it down, one or both are in the realm of carnality. Carnal Christian doesn't follow God's rule when there's a problem with another believer. Rather than going to that other person and making things straight, they take it to others and blow it up. When they're admonished in the Word of God, to take it directly to the brother. Speak to him. Make things right. You see, you and I, we're going to have some conflicts once in a while. We're going to misunderstand some things once in a while. But if we don't talk to each other about it ain't going to get resolved. A spiritual Christian must reject that kind of talk that comes their way in that regard and follow God's word. In fact, we're instructed on something. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Even when we're seeking to help a fellow Christian in one of these areas, we got to be so careful that we don't get overcome with the same problem. In Matthew 18:15, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Spiritual Christians ought to seek out others and let their conversations revolve around the Word of God and the things of God. That's where we ought to be at. You'll have some people complain, say, "Well, all you want to talk about is God. Sounds kind of boring. After all, he's the creator of the entire universe. He knows everything." Sounds like a pretty big subject, don't you think? But there's others who'll be overjoyed to be with somebody who finally speaks of that which is in their hearts. Understand, we need to have discernment to realize we cannot have fellowship if we're saved with a lost person. Nor can we have good fellowship if we're spiritual and they're carnal. And by the way, if you're carnal and you finally recognize it, get spiritual. It's really pretty easy to do. You confess your sin. Spiritual Christians, they'll seek to restore that brother that they might have some real fellowship with him. Now, I want you to notice one other thing. In some regards, this whole lesson comes down to this in my mind. It's what brought me to this scripture to begin with. Notice verse 10. And all the generations were gathered under their fathers. Who's that speaking of? It's speaking of Joshua. And we find also, as we read the context, it was all of those who had experienced the crossing of the Red Sea, or at least the wilderness wanderings. And all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which, these are horrible words, knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They did not know the Lord. We look around us today and we do a lot of complaining of what's taking place. But by and large, our young people do not know the Lord. Thank God for a few that we have in our church, but they're mighty few compared to what's in this entire city and country of ours. They've not heard about Jesus. They've not heard about the things that God can do and what he wants in their lives. And so here's a generation that did not know the Lord. And when you begin to read the book of Judges, you understand something very important. It was from these people that they began to have actions that were towards not God, but towards Baal. It was not towards the godly, but the ungodly. Not towards God, but towards Satan. And we find that God has to step in. And time after time, he brings judgment upon them. And for some reason, after the judgment, God brings a deliverer along. One who speaks to them, one who leads them out of that. And as soon as he's dead, they go back. And it happens over and over again. And what a horrible, really a horrible book of Judges is in that regard. Because it's God judging people. What was the problem? They didn't teach their young people about God. They didn't know. And that's where we're at today. We have a big job to do. Amen? To our young people, I say to you, you got a big job to do. You got a big job. And I've thought a lot today. What's going to happen with our young people after many of us are gone? If the Lord doesn't come back, what are they going to have to face? Will he be able to handle it? Will he be able to handle it? It starts out first by being saved and by being spiritual. And if you do that, you can handle it. You say, well, I might be killed. Yeah, they were martyrs. They were doing right. And actually, what a privilege that is as we look at the Word of God as he brings honor to those who've died for him. But brethren, we got a generation to reach. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much that you have made the lines for us to understand where we ought to be in relationship to other people. And Lord, I thank you so much for being able within the walls of this church to have people that love you and love each other. And we can fellowship one with another. And we can rehearse the things of God, not nearly as much as we have, but certainly what we ought to more so. And Lord, I pray that you'll use us to reach out to a lost and dying world because they need you. Help us to keep on teaching our kids the right direction and help them become strong that they might do that for the next generation, if that be yet in the future. Bless, we pray, in the few moments we have left together, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.